God's been good, give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. I thought it'd be a little louder than that. God's been pretty good to me.
Amen.
I'm pretty thankful. Amen. Father, help me now, I pray, in these few minutes. Lord, help me to be respectful of these people and their time. Lord, help me to be mindful of that. But Lord, more importantly, help me to give them something that they can walk away with today, something that can be applied to our hearts and in our minds, something that we can use for you. And may heaven be glorified. May your Son be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to skip the whole first two pages of my notes because I kind of did it there in the beginning. But I want you to see the story here. As you've looked at it, as you read along with me, try to recollect the best you can. I have a little bit of time and I have a whole lot to say. Amen. So, David, in the power of God, took down the biggest, baddest, scariest being that two nations couldn't take down. He killed him. He cut off his head, and then he bragged about it. So David came up in the name of God and said, look, God told me I was going to take you out. I'm going to take you out. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill you, then I'm going to cut your head off, and then I'm going to carry it through town, and I'm going to brag about it. And if you read the whole story, that's end up what happened. We didn't read that part of the story. But he cuts his head off, and he carries that head around like a giant trophy. Okay? And he says, see what God did? See what God did? But none of this would have ever taken place had David not taken the pledge. So go back and look at verse 18. Chapter 17 and verse 18. You see, David would have never gone into the battle had he not agreed to do so. Does that make sense? Look at verse 18. He said, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their what? Pledge. And then in verse 20, what did David do? David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went, as Jesse had commanded him. So David would have never been in the position to kill the Goliath, cut his head off, and drag it through town if it were not for taking the pledge in the first place. And it's fitting and honorable this morning for this reason. Our veterans do the same thing all the time.
Amen.
Our veterans are willing. Somebody else says there's a cause, and they'll say, I'll go. So they do it. But before they do it, they take a pledge. We said our Pledge of Allegiance this morning, and our veterans do that all the time. None of this would have taken place had David not taken the pledge. He had taken the pledge to join his brothers. He had taken the pledge to get involved, and he had taken the pledge to risk all he had ever known. He took a pledge to sacrifice. So David left everything, although he was a young boy, and a lot of these guys that go off to battle were young boys, especially back in the World Wars. They were young kids that went off, and some of them even lied about their age so that they could go. But as young kids wanting to get involved, and here's David wanting to get involved, and he was happy to take the pledge alongside of his brothers to go fight these big old Philistines. Now, if you go throughout the story, you recognize that not anybody would step up against this Philistine. Not the grown men, not the 50-year-olds, not the 40-year-olds, not the biggest and the baddest. Now, I'd venture to guess that there had to be some Israelites at least 6 foot tall. There had to be some Israelites at least maybe 6 foot five, maybe a good 250, right? But this didn't happen. It took this little old scrawny runt named David, who was tending to some sheep, in the name of God to say, is there not a cause? In verse 29, he said, is there not a cause? But it wouldn't have happened had it not been for the pledge. Much like our Savior and much like David, our current day heroes do the same. They face the nastiest of the nasty. They risk their all. They sacrifice their immediate for the possible future. They take their pledge. Today, in these few minutes, I want to propose a pledge to all of us to be taken. You see, you have to understand that. I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, but America ain't in the greatest shape.
Amen.
We're in a rough spot.
Yep.
We have a problem. And the problem is very obvious. It's understood, but nobody's standing up. Nobody's standing up. It's going to take a David somewhere. It's going to take a scrawny little David because the big bad guys ain't standing up to take the pledge. It's not the strong ones standing up to take the pledge. It's not the guys with the ARs in hand standing up to take the pledge. It's going to take somebody brave enough to say, in the name of God, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to take a pledge against a lot of this junk going on. It's going to be necessary for us to take a pledge. People are getting hurt. People are dying. Lives are being turned upside down. Courses of life are being altered and eliminated or derailed. Houston, we have a problem. Did anybody see people getting beat up and torn up over Popeye's chicken sandwiches? This is a problem. You got to cut somebody else off to get a chicken sandwich. In the day and age in which we live in, where you could go to Aldi and buy a whole pack of chicken for $6, and you're in line to get a $3.50 sandwich and want to fight somebody over it. It's a sad day in which we live in.
Amen.
It's a pitiful day in which we live in. But there's a reason for that. In 1962, prayer and Bible were ruled unconstitutional and removed from schools. In 1963, it was put in place. I want to show you some interesting things that happened between 1962 and now. And I think that everyone here will be appalled and sickened by what's happened. In 1960, 3 out of every 10,000 juveniles were arrested for murder. 3 out of every 10,000. Last year alone, there were 809,000 teenagers arrested in relation to murder. That's not all. 8,400 total people arrested as a juvenile in 1960. 2.1 million teenagers arrested in 2018. Arrested. That's not all. In 1960, sexually active teenagers was less than 10% of all juveniles. 90% in 2019. 9 out of every 10 teenagers between the age of 15 and 19 have been sexually active. Pregnancy in the 1960s with unwed teens was below 1%. It was 0.4%. 40% of all females between the ages of 15 and 19 end up pregnant out of wedlock. 40%. 4 out of every 10. Abortion in the 1960s, abortion, there were less than 100,000 of all ages. Teenagers alone, in 2018, there were 1.1 million abortions. Here's another fact for you. 19 out of every 20 in the 1960s knew Jesus Christ. Today, 6 out of 20 even know what Jesus is, means, sounds like. 6 out of every 20. In 1960, 2 out of every 1,000 marriages ended up in divorce. Now, 50%. And that's a conservative number because so many people live out of wedlock, they don't even get married. But 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. 2% of the population even considered living together when not wed back in 1960. Today, more than 14% of homes are unwedded homes. We have a problem. We have a godless problem. And the godless problem didn't just start in 1962 when they took prayer and Bible out of the schools. The godless problem started in World War II when all the daddies left and mamas were left to take care of kids that they shouldn't have been taking care of on their own. Now, I'm not sitting here talking about what was right, wrong, or indifferent. That's not the point. The point is we have a problem. And we don't have anybody willing to stand up and address the problem or fix the problem because it takes too much work to fix the problem in their homes. They don't want to do it God's way. They don't want to do it right in God's eyes. They want to do it their own way. And because so many guys and gals want to do it their own way, we end up with 1.1 million girls committing abortion before they ever turn 19. We end up with 2.1 million teenagers arrested arrested for various things out of only 21 million teenagers in America. 2.1 million of them arrested. They're not hearing about God. They don't know nothing about God. They don't know nothing about prayer. They don't know nothing about the Bible. They're just free to do whatever they want to do. And it's not good for them.
Amen.
Freedom isn't that good if it's getting you to do all these dumb things. I'm not here talking about communism because I'm against it. I think we should be free to choose what we want to choose. But I think we should also be free to choose to live holy and to live right and to live godly, not godless.
Amen.
We have a problem. It continues to get worse. There are no morals, no values, no love, no peace, no joy, no vision, no purpose. But what they fail to realize is God is love. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is love, but in this day and age there is no love. It's lust. It's, ooh, she's Amen. Cute. Or, ooh, he's cute. Or, ooh, he's got money. Or, ooh, they drive a nice car. Oh, I like that house. Or, oh, I like that outfit. And it's not love.
Amen.
So, therefore, they're getting themselves put in a mess that they don't belong in. But it's because they're not learning about true love.
Amen.
God is life. He came that we might have it more abundantly. He taught us how to treat our spouses. He taught us how to treat a neighbor. He taught us how to work a job, how to be a good employee. God is our moral compass. And so many folks have ran away from that moral compass and wonder why it's going haywire. Why is it not working right? Because God was the center of it, and he is no longer even thought of, let alone the center of it. God is the moral compass. So my challenge is this today. Take the pledge. What's wrong with moral decency? What's wrong with living right? What's wrong with teaching a young man how to treat a young lady? And what's wrong with teaching a young lady how to love properly a young man someday? What's wrong with teaching somebody that working is right and that character is good and that integrity is right and that a man ought to keep his hands off of a woman unless they're willing to commit one with another and say, I do? Why? Because it's a commitment, it's a vow, it's an acceptance one with another that says, I love you and you'll love me no matter what, come hell or high water, we're staying together, we're figuring it out.
Amen.
But what they want to do is they want to drive through like an a la carte line, and they want to take what they want and then leave behind the mess. And that's why we end up with these mothers that are all alone trying to take care of these kids. Because some guy felt that it was a Popeye's drive through, took care of business the way he wanted to take care of business, and then left the trash, the leftovers behind, and then ran away from it.
Amen.
We've all made mistakes, folks, but these things are intentional. They're not taught. They don't know any better. Take the pledge today. What's wrong with teaching honor and dignity? What's wrong with encouraging loyalty and faithfulness? What's wrong with teaching stewardship and responsibility? Is there not a cause? That's the same thing that David said. He said, he's trying to take over us. This big Philistine is trying to come in. He's trying to ruin our nation. He's trying to turn us into slaves. And nobody's willing to stand up and fight against it. And I say to the church, we've got people imposing upon our rights, people imposing upon our God, imposing upon our Savior, snubbing their noses at the Savior in which we love, and they don't welcome him any longer. And where's the church people that stand up and say, hey, God is love. Hey, Jesus died for you. Hey, that's not right. That's not appropriate. You're going to end up down the wrong road. Hey, you don't want to take that route. Who's standing up and waving the flag? Where's the standard bearer that comes through and says, that's dumb? Where's the standard bearer that says, in the name of Jesus, do you realize where it's taking you?
Amen.
In the name of God, can I sit and talk with you just for a minute and help you understand where it leads if you take this path? But no, here's what we have. What time's the meal? Here's what we have. I got something going on later today, preacher. Gotta go. Here's what we have. I'm sorry, I'm busy. Here's what we have. I don't have time for church any other time but Sunday morning. That's what we have. That's what we have. And that's why we're getting the results that we're getting. And sometimes it doesn't touch close to home, and sometimes it touches awfully close to home. And what's out of sight is out of mind, is it not? Ignorance is bliss. What's killing us? The ignorance is killing us. The ignorance is wiping out our nation. We've got men thinking it's okay to sleep with men, and we've got women thinking it's okay to sleep with women. But here's what they fail to understand and realize. If it becomes popular enough, our generation, the population, will be wiped out because they cannot reproduce.
Amen.
Hello? Eventually we disappear.
Amen.
Does that make sense? It doesn't make any sense. So where are the folks that stand up and say, that's not a smart idea? We have got to take the pledge. We have got to stand up. We have got to fight. We have got to gear up. We have got to prepare. We have got to be committed. We have got to be loyal. We have got to be faithful. We have got to forsake the wrong and stand for the right. Place peace in hearts. Send joy and hope. Tell somebody else, tell some little boy, some little girl about Jesus and how he died on the cross to save us from our sin. But he didn't just die so that he would save us from our sin. He died so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, little girls, I know daddy's not around, little girls, and I know daddy left you, and you probably don't even know who your father is, and I understand that, sweetheart. But more so than your father is a father in heaven who loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And he said he'll never leave you and forsake you if you just put your faith and your trust in him.
Amen.
We need people telling him that.
Yep.
Hey, young man, I know you haven't had a daddy in the home, or maybe you don't have a mom in the home, or maybe grandma's rearing you, but I'll tell you what, you still have a purpose in life, young man. Hey, there's still a goal for your life. God still loves you, and he still has a plan for you, and there's still something that you ought to do for him, and it's not the drugging and the gangbanging, and it's not the running down on the street corner trying to play video games to make some big buck someday because you think you're real good at it. It's not just trying to be an NFL superstar. Young man, let me teach you how to rear a family. Young man, let me teach you how to love your spouse. Young man, let me teach you how to be faithful and loyal and commit to your spouse.
Amen.
We need people telling them that. We need people telling them that, but we don't have them. God is love. People need Jesus.
Amen.
It's not just a t-shirt.
Yep.
You've seen the t-shirt on the hanging up in Walmart. Y'all need Jesus. And we try to use a popular opinion or a popular meme or whatever on Facebook. Y'all need Jesus. If you only knew how real that was. If you only knew, if it only applied to you and understood how real it was, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. The people in the church need Jesus. The people in the government need Jesus. Your neighbor needs Jesus. Your family needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. And it ain't just because it's a popular saying. Take the pledge of allegiance to Christ. More so than you would for a flag. As much as you honor and appreciate veterans, and I'm happy to do it, I'm glad to do it. It's right to do.
Amen.
We need folks to stand up and take an allegiance to God. God, I'm going to do what I can to stand in the gap. I'm going to do what I can to do right. I'm going to start with my family. And God, I make that promise. I pledge. You take a pledge to a flag. You're loyal to your employer. I hope you're loyal to your spouse. Are you loyal to your Savior? Are you loyal to your Savior? Be loyal to him. Honor him. Pay reverence to him. Respect him. Live for him.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Have you been baptized? Are you a member of a church?
Yes.
You need to be.
Amen.
If you're not saved, you need to get saved.
Amen.
If you ain't been baptized, you need to get baptized. Not because I said so, but because God said so.
Amen.
If you ain't joined a good church, you probably should find one. And if it ain't this one, find one. I'm okay with it. Be somewhere. Why? There's a cause. And it ain't just to make money and pay bills. That's not the only cause. Oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to put money in my pocket. I got to put food on the table. God's found a way to put food on my table. And I found a way to be in church every Sunday.
Amen.
God's pretty big, pretty strong. He's pretty able. I'm okay with it. I'm not nervous. Amen. We need Christians to take pledges. David would have never killed the giant had he not taken a pledge. We will never make a difference for Christ until we take a pledge.
Amen.
We need to take a pledge. You ain't got a pledge to me. You need to take a pledge to your Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's between you and the Lord this morning. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot me. I'm just trying to tell you what the Lord told me. And I'm the first to tell you, just like I said before, every sermon you get, I get twice. I get twice. I need to do my part. We all need to do our part. Is it real to you? Do you not see what's going on around us? Is it not obvious? Evil is real. And just as real as that evil is our Savior. We need to love him more. We need to appreciate him more. Take your time this morning with your head bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you need to come to an altar. Maybe you need to do it in your seat. Talk to him. That's what church is for.